William ignores questions as Prince Harry faces backlash after making this comment on the Today Show.
You know, she's on great form. She's always got a great sense of humor with me, and I'm making sure that she's, you know, protected and got the right people around.
Plus, we take a look back at Kate and William's wedding as they celebrate 11 years and the Queen rings in her 96th birthday.
It is a tradition for the Queen to celebrate her birthday privately. Mm-hmm. She traveled to Sandringham by helicopter, and she's believed to be staying there in a cottage on the estate, which was a particular favorite of her late husband, Prince Philip.
Plus, we break down Tina Brown's bombshell book, Where Do Harry and William Stand, and How Meghan Rocked the Monarchy. We've got that plus so much more in today's Royally Us. Hello to our fellow royal lovers and welcome to Royally Us. I'm Christina and I'm so excited to be joined this week by our guest co-host, our friend and royal expert, Jonathan Sacerdoti. Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
Hi, Christina. Great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited to run down all things royals with you. As always, it's a very busy week. But before we get to all of the news, we wanted to see what you guys had to say about last week's show. And Karen said, Harry and Meghan will never rejoin the royals. Not an issue. This was a report kind of going around last week that maybe Prince Charles would make room for them when he becomes king. But I don't know. Maybe after this last comment, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Doesn't seem likely, does it? I can't imagine either side wanting that to happen at the moment.
Definitely. And then Lily says Harry and Meghan are not doing damage. They're helping the royal family by serving the world. And then finally, Daniel said, I would be interested to know who the right people are and what she needs protection from. Now, that is, of course, talking about Harry's comment that he made to the Today Show. So let's kind of get right into that and kick it off with our royal roundup and talk about Harry's comments about the Queen's protection. He said that one of the reasons why he went to visit her was to see what people she had around her. What kind of struck you about that comment?
Well, I mean, I think like loads of people here in the UK, but also around the world, thought it was absolutely ridiculous. Just imagine saying that you're looking after your grandmother and protecting her by not seeing her for 2 years. I think it was actually quite a bizarre statement, even coming from one of the Duke and Duchess of Montecito. I think that in reality, everyone sees that they're doing their own thing, which is fine. That's their choice in life. They've made the decision and nobody can necessarily criticize them for wanting a bit of independence and freedom in that respect. Well, I suppose plenty of us can criticize them for it. Mm-hmm. But to then go and say that actually this flying visit on his way to his appearance in the Netherlands for the Invictus Games, of course, with his Netflix crew in tow. Mm-hmm. I think, honestly, what a strange thing to say. And just to have parked the film crew outside the door for a quick meeting with grandma so that you can come back and then do an interview on network TV saying that you're looking after her and protecting her and making sure she's got the right people around her. I think the only way, perhaps, some people have said he was making sure she had the right people around her was by not being one of them.
Interesting. I know you made a good point. And I think a lot of people on social media were kind of chattering about that as well and said, you know, kind of where has Harry been the past couple of years when he hasn't been looking after? Yes, they have a great relationship. We have reporting that the two of them do have a great relationship. He said it during the interview. But yes, it does kind of bear that question being like, how has Harry been checking in over those past couple of years? We'll never know. We're not behind closed doors. We don't know how often they speak, but it is kind of an interesting point to bring up. But I would
say as well, you know, just to say, I think it's a bit of an insult to Prince mm-hmm. Charles and the rest of the royal family who are actually around the Queen day by day, who are picking up some of the slack of the work that she's unable to do because of her age and her medical condition, mm-hmm. and who are also presumably taking care of her in other ways as normal families do as well. I think it's really hard to say that by being that far away, he's doing the same. I just don't think it's realistic in any terms, even though we're not party to what's going on. I think we can almost certainly say from outside, it's not possible.
Right. I mean, do you feel like he was taking aim at like his close family members, or is this people in the firm around her, you think?
Well, we can't really know, can we? But I mean, I think it almost sounded like someone talking about their grandma in the old age home. You know, I'm popping in to make sure the right people are around her. It's anyway, how would he be doing that from America in the position that he's in? I mean, he's chosen to throw so many grenades at the royal family, to make PR disasters for them, to personally pick fights with them in public. It seems so strange to then think that he could be behind the scenes actually checking in and making sure that she's got the right people around her, whether it's family or courtiers or staff. I just don't see how it's even remotely possible for that to be the case. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I'm certainly not there, you know, inside the palace, right. But I don't think anyone watching this could imagine a way in which that's possible. And also, I think having this private meeting with the Queen was something he was widely praised for, getting in touch, making sure he could see her, having been so long. But then to go straight onto US TV and talk about details of what was said in that meeting, again, just, I think, showed almost to some people a sense of betrayal, because it was meant to be a private meeting. They got there privately. It wasn't really announced very far in advance. They managed to get away with that. But then it seemed a bit like he'd done it so that he could talk about it in that interview to promote his activities now. It just seemed to many people like it was calculated.
Right. I mean, you make a good point. I mean, if they had maybe did their stopover on the way home from the Invictus Games and then, you know, kind of just go back to Montecito, nobody would have even really known about the details or anything like that. But the fact that they did it on their way over there and then he was, you know, doing a lot of press around the Invictus Games, it is interesting. But, you know, of course, reporters were going to ask William and Kate about this when they saw them. Not surprising. They decided not to answer them, but to take a look at this.
Sir, does the Queen need protecting?
Yeah, I would imagine that the royal family is probably not too happy about this, kind of like you said. And, you know, I mean, do you think that this is going to change things about going for Harry kind of visiting in June? Do you think he's not going to come now at all? I mean, he kind of alluded to the fact that he was unsure if he would even be able to come over here anyway.
Yes, he did allude to the fact that he might not come, which I think is the position that he's been holding for some time and in this discussion about security and like that. But I think that the security line is even one that's worn a bit thin with some people. Because if you just think back to Prince Philip's memorial service, even if they hadn't been afforded the exact level of security or organization of security that they had wanted, it seems strange that they could believe that being in a tight circle close to the royal family and all the other dignitaries who were present, they would have been in some kind of increased danger. They were in basically a sealed zone where some of the most important people in the country and the world were also present. So how on earth they could have thought they needed extra security over that? I just don't understand. I think this security line is something of I think it has two purposes. One is to say, to serve as an excuse really for not coming, but without saying that they just don't want to be there or don't think it fits in well for one side or the other's image. And I think the other side is that I think it's a prestige thing. And if I may say so, I think it's a way of trying to increase one's celebrity currency. So if you're so important, you need privately paid for protection from the police of the country you're going to, then I think you get to say you're a very important person. In fact, there was all this PR going on about the Dutch giving him, you know, VIP treatment or something for security. So I think security's become this kind of shorthand for how valuable a celebrity you are in terms of entertainment value and kudos on the world stage. So I don't think necessarily it'll come in June. I mean, that decision obviously is one that's going to be made on both sides. I think probably it would be quite nice if there was a way for him to be in the UK at that time in a low-key way, but that's the key to it. I'm not sure they can do anything low-key at the moment, even if they wanted to, the attention they'll get.
All right. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about Harry a little bit later on when we discuss Tina Brown's book. But let's talk about Queen Elizabeth, because she recently celebrated her 96th birthday and she celebrated privately at Sandringham. They released a photo of her alongside two ponies. So it seems like she wanted to make this a very private, low key celebration. And of course, Sandringham is a special place that she spent a lot of time with Prince Philip, right?
Yeah, that's right. And that photo is actually quite a lovely photo. We haven't seen a lot of the Queen in public view recently. And that photo is really charming, her there with those two fell ponies. They'll appear in the forthcoming Royal Windsor Horse Show. And as for Sandringham, it is a tradition for the Queen to celebrate her birthday privately. Mm-hmm. So she travelled to Sandringham by helicopter, and she's believed to be staying there in a cottage on the estate, which was a particular favourite of her late husband, Prince Philip. It's called Wood Farm. And the former housekeeper described it as a small and intimate place, So I think that gives a little bit of a clue about actually what she's craving at the moment, that she wants perhaps to be hidden away a bit more. She wants to be able to just relax in a private setting. She also went to Sandringham earlier in the year when she marked the anniversary of her accession to the throne, mm-hmm. which, of course, as I think we discussed then, it's actually quite a sad time for her as well, because it's the anniversary of her father's death. Mm-hmm. So we might assume perhaps that she finds Sandringham a good place for more private moments like these.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm sure, like you said, a very low-key private celebration. And, you know, 96 years old, she deserves a little bit of a rest. And if that's how she wants to celebrate, good for her. But the members of the royal family were out and about this week. And of course, doing a lot of work, including Duchess Kate and Prince William, because they were honoring Australians and New Zealanders killed in the war to mark Anzac Day. They attended the service of commemoration and Thanksgiving at Westminster Abbey. And this was a surprise, because a lot of people didn't know that Kate was going to be present for this, correct?
Yeah, and I think, again, it just shows that the royals, those who are still here working, do have these packed schedules, and they do show up. I think they decide who goes where according to you know, what's appropriate and the causes that are special to them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they always they wear these red poppy pins in honor. And then it was also significant because, you know, Kate loves to recycle outfits, and this was a jacket that she actually wore to one of the kids' christenings. So it was nice to see that kind of pop up again.
That's right. That white Alexander McQueen coat dress was one that she previously wore to Princess Charlotte's christening. Mm-hmm. And she paired it there with that hat that matches. And it's often noted that she does tend to rewear clothes. And I think, again, that's part of her image. It's part of the image they put across for her, that she's, let's say, frugal, I suppose, if you can be frugal as a princess who dresses quite as luxuriously as they have to in the royal family. But she likes to revisit items in her wardrobe. And I think she has some really keen watchers of her fashion sense and style. So actually, they often enjoy noting when she's rewearing things and trying to maybe tie the two occasions together, or just to remark on how she manages to do that and still carry it off so well.
Definitely. If I had an Alexander McQueen jacket like that, I'd wear it every day. So,
definitely more than once.
Right. Well, another royal tour is coming under fire. So the Grenada leg of the Earl and the Countess of Wessex's Caribbean tour has been postponed. Now, this was a day before their week-long trip began. They are currently there, but the decision was made after talks with the island's government and Governor General. So Prince Edward and Sophie will still visit other islands on the tour to mark the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. And the decision comes as the Caribbean nations debate their relationship with the British crown. This is something that we saw on Prince William and Duchess Kate's tour as well. And they were sharply criticized for being tone deaf on their tour. So it seems like, you know, this pattern is kind of continuing, and it maybe foreshadows a shift of what's going to happen maybe with some of the Commonwealth once Prince Charles takes the throne, correct?
Yes, I think the royal family is increasingly asking itself and the nation at large, what happens when ... And we all know what we mean by that. You know, when Her Majesty the Queen is no longer with us and is no longer in charge of the royal family, is no longer the monarch and is no longer the head of the Commonwealth. And I think that many countries have enjoyed their relationship with the Commonwealth and with the United Kingdom and the monarch. But when the Queen is no longer the monarch and is no longer the head of the Commonwealth, I think it is going to be one of those moments when some countries think about their future and whether their Commonwealth associations should be consigned to the history books. So I think that these protests, which may not be as big as some people perceive them in the press, are still important and significant. And I think the royal family is already reacting to them, as you can see, through decisions like this one to cancel some engagement and some parts of the tour. We'll have to just really keep watching and see how they choose to adapt and react to them. And whether Prince Charles, for example, when he is in charge of the Commonwealth, will make any changes proactively in order to perhaps recognize differences of the time and the differences in the opinions of some of the people in the Commonwealth countries.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how things change. All right, well, now it is time to spill the royal tea, and former President Donald Trump is weighing in on the royal family, predicting that Harry and Meghan's relationship won't last. And he revealed why the Queen made this mistake when Harry left the royal family in 2020. Take a look.
I think she should have said, if that's your choice, fine, but you no longer have titles, you're no longer, and frankly, don't come around. He has been so disrespectful to the country, and I think he's an embarrassment.
Yes, former President Trump weighing in on this. So should Harry have been stripped of his royal titles? Do you think that he makes a good point in this?
I'll soon to be back on Twitter, maybe, but we'll see. And he's certainly finding ways to make his voice heard even without Twitter.
Yep.
And when Donald Trump says this, I can't help remembering that he did say it quite publicly a while back, actually. I remember him saying something disparaging, let's say, about Meghan, or at least implying it publicly. I can't comment. I mean, I'm not, far be it from me to predict how somebody's relationship will go, somebody I know even, but for somebody I don't know personally, it would be totally out of place. It is interesting that Donald Trump says he's good at predicting these things. Certainly had a few relationships himself. So perhaps from a position of experience, he feels he knows well about different people's motivations in relationships. I will say this, there is a lot of speculation about their marriage, as I suppose happens to all royals. And the royal family don't have necessarily the best track record with successful marriage in recent years. You know, Queen's children themselves having gone through divorces. And I think that means that they're certainly living in a more modern world where that sort of thing possibility. And again, I think we're going to chat about the book coming out soon, Brown Book, but there's certainly loads in there. Suggests some quite fiery and spicy dynamics within even the relationship with Meghan and Harry. And if those sorts of rumors have even a grain of truth in them, then I think, you know, it's obviously a difficult position for anyone to find themselves in. They're obviously two very strong-minded people who like to do things very publicly. And of course, that could have problems for them in future, but it could just as easily help unite them because they see themselves as a team force for good against the various things that get in their way. And that could be something that unites them just as much as it problems. I wouldn't like to speculate past.
No, I totally agree with you. But like you said, you brought up that book. So let's actually get right into it and break down the royal rules, because former Vanity Fair editor Tina Brown has released her book, or is going to release her book, The Palace Papers. And in it are some bombshell revelations about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. She compares the Sussexes' decision to step back as senior working royals to the military withdrawal from Afghanistan, writing that it was a necessary and executed with maximum chaos. She also goes into detail about Harry and Meghan's clash with their staff, the unpleasantries that took place leading up to their wedding, and how Harry could have aided Meghan more in her transition to the family. She wrote, "He didn't want to. It required Meghan to fight all the norms he had kicked against her for so long. She was now his comrade in arms. An aide described their confrontational stance to me as a mutual addiction to drama." Wow. I mean, Tina Brown has written books before. She was friends actually with Princess Diana. So she definitely has an ear into the royal family. So this is definitely, a lot of people are going to be reading this book.
Mutual addiction to drama. I mean, it sounds like a quite love of a film. What can I say? I mean, the book sounds fabulous in terms of gossip, and it's a bit of a romp. I mean, I think she knows exactly what she's doing when she writes a book like this.
Yeah.
I think it's perhaps the book that everyone might have wished Prince Harry will write. And I dare say it's going to be a lot spicier than his will be. I mean, she says that the jealousy that grew between him and Prince William started around a decade ago when William, he thought, was hogging the best briefs. I mean, it says that things were strained with Charles and that they were communicating through private secretaries. And according to the book, Cressida Bonas, his ex-girlfriend, Harry's ex-girlfriend between 2012 and 2014, said that she found his venting about his family so tiresome that she advised him to see a therapist. And it's claimed that that led him to seeking advice from MI6, that's the UK Secret Intelligence Service, on the best therapists he could see. But interestingly, actually, that shows that the book suggests that it's actually her who suggested to him that he see a therapist, and that he later, according to the book, wrote a little note thanking her for it because it had been helpful. So if that's true, again, I think it isn't quite in line with some of the things he said more recently, I believe, about seeking professional help and therapy, who prompted him to do that. Just to be a bit of a nitpicker on these nuggets of information. But anyway, I think the book, you know, the book does seem to promise quite a fascinating read, full of very interesting little details all over the place, not just about Prince Harry, who it quotes a source as saying he was a very, very angry man. It's also got loads of tidbits about all the other royals, sound quite hysterical and scandalous and scurrilous. So I definitely, that could be.
Oh, definitely. Definitely a good read. Definitely pick that up. It's a lot to digest. Well, let's talk about our royal history moment of the week. And Prince William and Duchess Kate will celebrate their 11th wedding anniversary on April 29th. I can't believe it's been 11 years. It feels like yesterday. I know for us over in the States, we were waking up at like 6 o'clock in the morning to see this all go down. But I mean, what a beautiful, beautiful day. And 11 years later, it seems like their relationship, at least to the public, seems stronger than ever.
Yeah, I mean, I think royal weddings have this ability to grab attention, and British people and people around the world are fascinated by them and tune in to see them. And that's partly because of the pomp and circumstance, the pageantry of it all that we just do so well here. But it's also about the people, the individuals involved. And I think that that's why when the younger royals, like William, and even Harry, his wedding was also massive popular. Yeah. I think that going back to William, it was just this, you know, it is a fairy tale event. You read your kids' stories about princes and princesses and living happily ever after. And that's the story that's being told in these sorts of moments, beautifully filmed and all those beautiful moments, the first reveal of the dress. You don't even have to be that interested in wedding dresses or couture to really just have your eyes peeled waiting for it and to see the details and the commentary telling you what all the info were and the handmade lace and all of those sorts of things. I do think those moments are a very important part of the fabric of British identity and cultural life. And I think that even for non-royalists, those are among the moments that are used to unite the nation. And that's one of the roles of the royal family in the modern age, I think, it does serve as a sort of uniter for British identity. And that wedding, as you say, hard to believe it was so long ago, but it's still fresh in people's minds because the important part it plays, I think, culturally in British identity.
Oh, definitely. I couldn't agree with you more. Such a beautiful day all around. Well, it's time to check in on our pint-sized palace. And not only did Queen Elizabeth celebrate a birthday, but Prince Louis did as well. He celebrated his 4th birthday, and William and Kate revealed 4 new photos, of course, taken by the Duchess herself. And I mean, he is growing up and he is just the cutest little thing.
Very cute pictures. There is a touch of the catalogue pose about them, but yes. You know, what can you say? Good for him. I mean, he looks great, dressed stylishly. Yep. She's a gifted amateur photographer. So they're lovely to see.
Definitely. It does. It looks like straight out of like a J. Crew catalog. Yeah, no, she is definitely turning into quite the photographer though. I love seeing, you know, these personal moments where they kind of let us into their lives a little bit, and it's absolutely adorable. So happy birthday to Prince Louis, 4 years old.
Really, happy birthday.
All right. Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for running down all things royals with me. You know, it's always such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much.
It's always great to be with you. Thank you.
All right. For much more on the royals, head over to usmagazine.com. Keep commenting, keep subscribing, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.